Good morning, and welcome to the Ray of Hope Christian Church Prayer Call. I'm Reverend Ryland Andre Harris, and I am honored to lead you in this time of meditation and prayer. Our meditation this morning comes from Philippians chapter 1, verses 19 through 26. For the sole purpose of our time this morning, I would like to focus on verse 20. My deep desire and hope is that I shall never fail in my duty, but at all times, and especially right now, I shall be full of courage, so that with my whole being, I shall bring honor to Christ, whether I live or die. The word of the Lord is already blessed. Our morning reflection, living to live again. In the 2008 drama, The Family That Prays, we are introduced to two different families headed by two very strong matriarchs. Kathy Bates portrays Charlotte Cartwright, a noticeably wealthy woman who finds herself secure in her financial life and unafraid of fulfilling her earthly desires of life, love, and happiness. While Alfrey Woodard, her dear friend, a black woman, portrays Alice Evans, a woman of unrelenting faith, with two adult daughters just trying to make ends meet as best she can while holding her own family together. Both of these women are bound together by the strong and significant bond of friendship and faith. Together, they have experienced the highs and lows of life. They have witnessed marriages and divorces, death and life, heartache, headache, and heartbreak, but have been determined to remain true to each other in this sisterly bond forever. Unbeknownst to Alice Evans and the viewing audience, Charlotte has received a medical diagnosis that will alter the course of her life. Because she fears that her time is dwindling down, she purchases an Oldsmobile and convinces Alice to travel cross-country with her from one end to the other so that the two of them might explore and experience the sights and scenes of these United States that they have never seen before. Charlotte purchases a boatload of disposable cameras along with her own digital camera so that she might be able to document the memories lived and experienced on their cross-country voyage. The goal of the trip is to simply go with the flow. While they would use a road map in which to follow, they would not be on a time schedule whatsoever. They would just live. Say that with me. They would just live. They would eat in unremarkable restaurants, sleep in flea bag motels, and be completely and totally carefree with no fear of judgment whatsoever. They would just simply live. Having gone from their hometown and having been away for months, Charlotte finally reveals to her beloved friend Alice that she has been diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's disease. Alice, devastated by the news that her friend has just shared with her, Alice promises to remain by her side through this journey. However, unfortunately, not wanting to face the downward spiral and irreversible effects of the disease, Charlotte chooses to take her own life. As the movie ends, Alice recalls a quote from her dearly departed friend who once asked her, "Alice Evans, are you living or are you just existing?" This morning, dear friends, I pose this same question to you. Are you living or are you just existing? Friends, it is easy to get up in the morning and, as if on autopilot, we just go and do, quickly forgetting about the wholeness of being and living. We experience losses and moments of grief, and sure is our response, life is too short. However, while saying it, we are not always good stewards of living it. I was recently encouraged in a sermon preached from Psalm chapter 27, verses 13 and 14, where the preacher admonished the congregation to join in the salvific sway and two-step of waiting and being. You see, waiting on the Lord is indeed living a life that is pleasing and honoring to God. Living while being of good courage is what helps others to see the fruitfulness that life can bring. Unfortunately, it is the unhealthy methodology of going and doing that quickly causes unnecessary burnout, unnecessary fatigue, unfulfillment, disdain, and dissatisfaction. In our text this morning, the Apostle Paul gives one of the most beautiful and thoughtful salutations to the people at the church at Philippi by saying, "I thank my God for you every time I think of you. And every time I pray for you all, I do so with joy because of the way in which you have helped me in the work of the gospel from the very first day until now." Paul goes on and on to encourage them to continue in the work of Christ and in ministry. Moreover, it is Paul's desire that the Philippians will not become complacent in their engagements in the work of ministry, but that they will continue to grow and mature as they spread the good news of Jesus Christ. But in so doing, friends, Paul does not want the Philippians to mistake doing the work of Christ to be a clarion call to appear as earthly ghosts. No, don't go around preaching this gospel from a holier than thou point of view, so high and lofty that no one else can touch you. No, beloved, live. Live so that God can use you and so that the people can see the message of Christ in and through you. Paul is clear, just so that Christ is preached in every way possible. As Paul writes these words, he finds himself in a prison cell, chained and locked away. He's in a place where death would probably not only be an option, but it would also be the best means of escape. However, Paul says, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul is torn in two directions, ultimately, because both options are good. Is that not the testimony of the Christian believer this morning? No, now don't get me wrong. I don't want to leave from this side today, but I also know deep down in my heart that there is a bright side somewhere, and I'm going to put on my robe and I'm going to tell the story of how I made it over one of these old days. Yes, heaven is a real place. It's a place with golden streets, 12 pearly gates to the city with mansions, bright and fair. Heaven is a real place where the wicked cease from troubling and the weary are able to rest. Yes, heaven is a real place. However, Paul's encouragement to us this morning is not meant as a point to skip over to get to. Rather, Paul's desire is that we would honor the first clause of the verse so much and so well that we will literally fade into the second clause and experience more on the other side of Jordan. I want my whole life, as verse 20 says, right now, today, this morning, this week, this month, this year, to honor Christ. To exclaim the age-old phrase, "I'm living my best life," does not need to have a negative connotation attached to it. Living your best life does not mean making someone else's life miserable in the process. Living your best life does not mean attaining status and position so that you might lord over those who serve under or alongside you. Living your best life requires both of your feet to be planted firmly on the ground and not on the necks of your sisters and brothers. Living your best life does not mean putting yourself into inappropriate, questionable, illegal situations to prove the point that you are lit, turned up, and unbothered. Living your best life should not equate to wishing you were dead the night after. In fact, that wouldn't be living your best life. That would indeed be ruining the life God gave you to live. Living your best life friends, is waking up every morning and thanking God for every vision and every plan and every goal and every dream that God has granted your physical life to achieve. Living your best life is working to achieve the overwhelming great expectations that God has outlined for you in His holy word. For somewhere I read, "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for your harm, to give you a future with hope." Oh, but these are not promises of the afterlife. These are promises for you and me to experience in the land of the living. And like David, I too would have fainted just at the mere possibility. To live is to love. To live is to laugh. To live is even to face struggles and troubles and trials and tribulations while believing that Christ Himself experienced these same things and more. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every aspect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. To live is to feel and to breathe and to exhale, casting all your cares on the Lord, knowing that God cares for you. Unfortunately, too many blood-bought, born-again, baptized believers, death and heaven won't have the projected exhilaration because you forgot to live before you died. Who asks for seconds before they've enjoyed the meal already prepared and set out before them? To live is to say and feel, "This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it." To live is to say and feel, "I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praises shall continually be in my mouth." To live and to feel is to say, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us from them all." To live is to say and feel, "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head." For to me, to live is Christ. How can death and eternal life be gained if life is wasted and tossed to the side? Our ancestors, our grandmothers, and our grandfathers, that great cloud of witnesses, they talked about getting to heaven in the morning and crossing over the Jordan River from the angle of having already lived. They had seen lightning flashing. They had heard thunder rolling, but they were clear that Christ had never left them alone. It is for this reason that they could look forward to dying in the Lord, because they had lived in the Lord. So I have a message from the Lord. Hallelujah, and it's only that you look and live, for we are only living to live again. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because Jesus lives, we can face tomorrow. Because Jesus lives, all fear is gone. Because we know and believe that Jesus holds the future, life is worth the living. Just because Jesus lives. Lord, this morning, before we ask You for anything, we thank You for everything. This morning, we thank You for life. This morning, we thank You for granting us just one more opportunity to get up refreshed and renewed, ready to face all the things that today will bring to us. And Lord, we do not come to You with a gospel-like mentality that trials and tribulations and struggles and disappointments won't come our way. No, however, we do stand here with full assurance and faith that no matter what today holds, You hold today, and everything will be all right. Lord, we want to thank you this morning for your goodness and your grace and your never-ending mercies that fail not. During this Lenten season, while we walk through the wilderness places of our individual lives, we thank you for leading and guiding us to that sure and certain hope which can only be found in you. On this brand new day, we ask that if there is any part of us that feels as though life is not worth living, that you would silence those distractions and negative thoughts in the mighty name of Jesus. To my brother and to my sister who is listening and viewing this morning, to the person who might be dealing with a mountain that seems unclimbable and a valley that they cannot tunnel through, give them your peace, the peace that surpasses all of their understanding. Give them the courage to hold their heads up, looking to the hills from whence cometh their help. This morning, we are praying for the lost. This morning, we are praying for the sick. This morning, we are praying for the lonely. This morning, we are praying for the discontent. This morning, we are praying for those who need comfort. This morning, we are praying for those who want to quit. This morning, we are praying for those who feel as though all hope is gone. This morning, we are praying for those who just need to be reminded that to live is Christ. We thank you for planting us in a ministry aptly named Ray of Hope, so that no matter what comes our way, we can be reminded that not only is hope tangible, but that our hope should always be in you and nothing less. We thank you this morning for our founder and senior pastor, the Reverend Dr. Cynthia L. Hale. We ask that you would continue to strengthen and protect, lead, guide, and direct her in your perfect will and way. We've already seen you do all of these things, so we know that you will do them again and again and again and again. For your word declares, great is your faithfulness. We thank you this morning. We love, we honor, and we praise you. And we cast this entire day, this entire prayer, this meditation, all of our goings and comings, this entire day, we give back to you, for to you it rightfully belongs. It is in the mighty name of Jesus that we do pray with thanksgiving and overwhelming joy. And all of the blessed people of God said, amen. Thank you so much for joining us for our meditation and prayer this morning. I pray that you will have a blessed and prosperous day. We look forward to having you join us this upcoming Sunday for worship in person in the main sanctuary or on any of our various streaming platforms. You can visit us on the website at www.rayofhope.org, on Facebook Live, or on YouTube, for services do begin promptly at 10 a.m. We look forward to having you join us here again next week at 7:14 a.m. for meditation and prayer. And remember, friends, look and live. My sister and my brother live. God bless you.